Good morning. This sermon actually completes a series we've been doing here in worship and in preaching called What Shall We Do? And so we're ending on the truth. I don't know if I can get to that exactly in terms of what Peter just said and lots of other things going on in our culture, but we will endeavor and try to explore the truth this morning. So let the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. This is a reading from Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord. And this passage from the Gospel of John, this is kind of a passage that shows up at the end of Holy Week, but in exploring the truth, I could find no better passage than to really look at this particular one. John 18, verses 28 through 38. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." And the Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death by which he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell this to you about me?" And Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me, and what have you done? What have you done? What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over, or handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." And Pilate asked him, "So you are a king? You are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" The word of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious God, this is our question. What is truth? It may have been asked a long time ago. It may have been asked at the trial of Jesus, but we are certainly asking it today. So be with us. Send your spirit of truth here in this place. Speak to us words of wisdom and truth. And as we come to this table this morning to take the bread and to eat, and to drink from this cup, let your truth be known and set us free by hearing it. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the truth today, discerning the truth. We seem to be having a little trouble with that. What is the truth? I think Pilate's words sound like something you might hear today, indeed. A week ago Friday, I know some of you were there, I was at the lecture given by Joseph Stiglitz over here at the Martin Luther King Jr. Performing Arts Center. I saw a lot of you. I was way up in kind of the upper grandstands. I watched a lot of Westminster folks kind of mingling around and listening very carefully to what Joseph Stiglitz, notable and Nobel Prize-winning economist, had to say to us. He said a lot of things, but I was ready for his answer on this one question. In the midst of his lecturing, he actually said this. He said, "What do we mean by the truth?" And I waited. I knew I would be preaching this sermon. I waited. I had my pencil ready to go. He never answered it. Maybe there is no answer, but I was just waiting for that answer. So what do we mean by truth? What do we mean by truth when you can go to a Facebook page and like something, and other people can like it, and if it's liked enough times, somehow that becomes more true? What do we mean by truth when you can say something over and over again? You can repeat the same statement. If you say it enough times, it becomes more true than the first time you said it. What do we mean by truth? What do we mean by truth when, brothers and sisters, we seem to be entering into an era called a post-truth society? These are the descriptive words of Richard Rohr, author and lecturer. Rohr suggests that apparently today we can make words mean whatever we want them to mean, and we can make them say whatever we want them to say, and we really don't care about the truth because the goal is to win. And if your goal is to win, you can use words however you want to use them because winners get to define the truth. What do we mean by truth? I remember years ago preaching a sermon and standing in the shaking hands line at the back of the sanctuary. I think I had worked very hard on that sermon. I recall what a man said to me as he walked through that line and shook my hand. It still stuck with me, so be careful what you say to me today. I'll remember it forever. I'd worked hard on that sermon. I'm sure I had, perspired and worked hard and thought about it, went back to the original language of Greek or Hebrew and worked, like all ministers do, right, Lynn? I'm sure I'd worked diligently on it, but I'll always remember what he said to me as he walked out after that sermon. He said, "Well, that's just your opinion." what could I say? We all have opinions. It's okay to have an opinion. But I guess what troubled me is that, it's good to have an opinion, but when it comes to the grass that's growing outside my house right now, or a sermon that I worked so hard on, or global warming, when an opinion begins to come on a parallel line with the truth, what do we mean by truth? Let me set the scene here for this conversation between Jesus and Pilate. Here's Jesus. He's a broken man. His hands are tied behind his back. He's been arrested, dragged through the town to the Roman magistrate. If you happen to ask someone on the street what's going on and who is this man, someone might say to you this kind of nonsensical reasoning. They might say, "Well, they wouldn't have brought him here if there wasn't something that he did wrong." That's what the text says. Here's Jesus, broken. Frederick Buechner, author and Presbyterian pastor, describes Jesus in this way in his book, Telling the Truth. He describes him as roughed up a bit. An upper lip. His upper lip is absurdly puffed out. He has one eye that is swollen shut. He looks unwashed and smells unwashed. His feet are bare, big, flat, peasant feet. Here is Jesus in this courtyard, this kind of Roman courtyard, standing before a Roman prefect. He's bent over. He's disheveled. He reminds me of one of those guys who stands at a freeway off-ramp holding up one of those cardboard signs out in the rain that says, "We'll work for food. God bless you." That's Jesus. Now, I think if no one were watching, Pilate would have done something very differently. You know, there's that old quote out there somewhere, the truth of character integrity comes out when no one is watching sometimes. But someone's watching him. There are those watching, interested in this case, but the irony is that Pilate doesn't care. You know, if no one were watching, I think Pilate probably would have given Jesus Uber fare and said, you know, just disappear. But people are watching. So it comes as no surprise that Pilate asked Jesus this question. Are you the king of the Jews? I keep stumbling on that word because the Greek inflection is said in such a way as if to say, kind of an embarrassing moment, you're the king of the Jews? As if to say, you're the person that people are afraid of? You are the person that people are talking about? You with the black eye and the big feet? You, Jesus? If this trial scene were happening today, I think Pilate would be probably tapping on his iPhone, you know, tapping a note to his mistress. He's indifferent. Pilate is dismissive. He would have been playing Angry Birds on his iPhone. He would have been looking out the window. Do you really think Pilate cares at all? At this point, I imagine that the court stenographer has just stopped typing. There's no need to keep a record of this trial. There's no need to have it on the docket. And when Pilate asks this existential question, what is truth? Do you think he really gives a rip about the answer? Pilate is not that deep. He's a thug. And so while Jesus goes on about talking about his kingdom not being of this world and how he came into this world to testify to the truth, probably is, you know, Pilate is probably counting the moments when he can get back to what he taped on his DVR. He doesn't care. He doesn't care because he's a winner. He's a winner, and this guy standing before him is an absolute loser. You know, that's why Pilate cannot possibly hear the truth, and I think in some ways that is our problem. That's the trouble with getting to the truth. Because it takes someone to care about it. It takes someone to have compassion, to listen, and to understand that the truth is more important than winning. Frederick Buechner writes this, "To preach the gospel is not just to tell the truth, but to tell the truth in love. And to tell the truth in love means to tell it with concern not only for the truth that is being told, but with concern also for the people it is being told to." You know, I think Paul the Apostle said the same thing when he wrote to his brothers and sisters in Ephesus. He wrote this in Ephesians 4:14 through 16. "We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." So what do we mean by the truth? I believe the truth happens at the grassroots level. It happens here in community with each other, our actions and words toward each other. My hope and prayer is that by what we experience here as a community of truth, some of this would trickle upward to halls of power. It's not going to trickle down to us. It's going to trickle up to halls of power. And that truth is not a matter of winners and losers, but in the end, ultimately, what people will want most is the truth. What do we mean by truth? I think what we mean is to practice what we preach, is to speak the truth in love to each other. And when we say an untruth, to repent, but also to forgive. What do we mean by truth? If you are struggling with this question, I invite you to come to this table this morning. This is a table of truth. It's a place where we break the bread of honesty and we drink from a common cup. And by eating and drinking, we discover and we learn what it means to be in community with each other. So come, take, and eat. And as we leave this place together, may we go out and speak and seek the truth, but also to care about it and to care for the person we're speaking it to.